sahanau bhunaktu sahavirayantaravavahai tejasvinavahitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Yes, so page 47. Bhagavatam verse reference. When the individual soul is liberated, he resembles the Supreme Lord due to anukrita, imitation, or anusanga, intimate contact. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.12. My dear Uddhava, just as great sages in yoga trance merge into self-realization, like rivers merging into the ocean, and are thus not aware of material names and forms. Similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan were so completely attached to me within their minds, they could not think of their own bodies, or of this world, or of their future lives. Their entire consciousness was simply bound up in me. Anusanga Badha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Ujjvala Nilamani explains that when one experiences intense emotions, one forgets everything even though one is not in a state of illusion. That is shown in this verse. Their minds are bound to constant association with me. By his amazing pastimes, Krishna stunned all the three worlds. By his constant association, he bound up the gopis with great strength. The functions of their intelligence became like desire cows for fulfilling Krishna's desires, bound up by constant association. They did not know their own bodies. In going to the Rasa dance, they did not know where they were, where they had come. They were not aware of this world or the next, Adha. Though they had transgressed Dharma, they were like sages in Samadhi. In that state, experiencing Brahman, the sages remembered nothing. However, the gopis experienced me, not the Brahman. So here's going to be the difference. That point that they're coming to, this nirakar, where they're not experiencing the body because of association with the Lord, right? So they take on the qualities of the Lord. So here then, you could say is you have the aspect of imitating the Lord, meaning that you take on those qualities. But that comes by one, of course, the association, but in that meditation upon the Lord, then it's going to be from the platform of understanding philosophically what's happening, right, for these great sages. So then they see how the material world doesn't have that great importance and how that absorption, you know, in the Supreme is of greater importance and taste, of course. So then in that case, they forget the body and just absorb themselves on that platform. But then they're just absorbing themselves in existence itself. So they're giving up material existence and taking on spiritual existence, right? Like that. So in that way, they're imitating the Lord. But we see the gopis go to another stage. What was that? Anusanga Badha means anusanga, intimate contact. So they're forgetting their bodies and what's happening in the environment, but they're coming to the platform. Why? Because that's because their absorption in the Lord as a person. Right? So for the sages, then it's their own satisfaction that why they're doing this. It's not that they're specifically trying to please the Lord. They're just taking on that position. Right? So that's the imitating the Lord. So it's about themselves. But we see is that with the gopis, then in that state, it's about serving the Lord. So they don't even basically understand their position. They're not aware of their body. So they're just absorbed in how to please Krishna. So this is a much higher state. Right? So this is what we're trying to get to. Right? And so then the principle is there of this nirakar. But this is the actual perfectional state of nirakar. Because it's about Krishna's form and his satisfaction. But you're giving up one's own personal satisfaction and interest, or even awareness. Like we see, the gopis aren't even aware of their own features. Right? They're only absorbed in how to serve Krishna. So that absorption, then naturally, that's the primary, and whatever the subtle does, the gross follows. So the primary being that love for Krishna, trying to please Krishna. Then the secondary of their forms and qualities and activities that they'll use and endeavors, that just comes automatically. Right? Does that make sense? Whatever is the mental state, that then manifests that particular body. So then, because of that state of being absorbed in the Lord, then it manifests that form that they can perfectly serve the Lord. So this is actually the state. Now, that's the principle of it. Now we see it comes down according to the level of consciousness. So then the liberated sages, they're sitting in that same trance, but it's not about pleasing the Lord. It's about appreciating, you know, the Lord and these qualities like this, but it's not necessarily about pleasing. You may have those in Shanta Ras who it's pleasing the Lord, but, you know, it'll have that aspect, that devotional. But you have sages that are not. They're just absorbed in Brahman because this is the state. So it's not actually devotional. You understand? And then we have, here is that, as it mentions, Ujvalaniyamani. When one experiences intense emotions, one forgets everything, even though one's not in a state of illusion. So a strong emotion, you're not in illusion, you're focused on that and you forget everything else. Mm-hmm. Right? So now if you're absorbed in Brahman, then you'll forget everything else. And then if you're absorbed in the Lord, you'll forget everything else. So either you're absorbed in the mundane, you're absorbed in the transcendental, or you're absorbed in the Lord. Principle's the same, but it has these three levels. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why it's, one may say, well, what will all this philosophy do? No, it'll see that you're actually on that platform. Because let's say we take this sahajya, right? Then the sahajya is absorbing themselves in Krishna's pastimes. Okay, now it is 20 minutes to 7 in the morning, so Krishna would have already been back at Mother Jashoda's house. He would have been woken up by her. He would have gone to the cowherd pen, the cow's place. He would have milked the cows, dealt with the cows. He would have come back. He'd be taking his bath now. Right? So then they're absorbing themselves in the bath. And, oh, I would do this at his bath. And I would do that at his bath. And I would dress him like this and that. And wouldn't it be so nice? But technically, where's Krishna? You understand? Because it's all about me. I'm going to do this. The gopis aren't even aware of themselves. So this is not nirakar. That's why it's called sahaja. Because they're not on the transcendental platform. It's just a nice thing to think about. Krishna's always nice to think about. How can Krishna not be nice? The materialists, all they're thinking about is Krishna. They just don't know it's Krishna. So for the sahajas, they know it's Krishna, but they don't really care. It's about what they're getting from it. Right? Their ecstasies, they're rolling on the ground. It's not whether Krishna's rolling on the ground. It's whether they're rolling on the ground. You understand? So that's why this philosophy is important, so that you can tell the difference. But of course, one always has, having stated that, that's for those who are in the process of Vaidhi and are following the sadhanas and that gradual process of development. For those who, just by hearing about Krishna, they become naturally, spontaneously attracted, then these technical points of the philosophy aren't important. Right? In other words, that's not why they're doing it. We may be doing because, okay, the philosophy, I have to forget about these, I have to absorb myself in the Lord, and then things go nicely. But for those on the spontaneous platform, like the gopis, they don't need that. But it's not that if they stop and are aware of it, it's not that they can't explain it. Right? Because you have here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, explaining it. And he's explaining what Rupa Goswami is explaining. So technically they can explain it, but it's not, the technique is not necessary for their application of it. It's because of their natural affection. Right? Does that make sense? So even though now we spent, 7 years trying to appreciate and understand the technical points of the philosophy and the importance of it and how important it is for our practice, we have to know that there's a stage beyond that. But if you're not on that stage, then you follow this stage. Right? It's not a practice. Rag is not a sadhana. You understand? Sadhana is vaidhi. It's there by Krishna's grace, but one doesn't count on that. So one doesn't say that, oh no, but I won't worry about all these, I'll just do that. No. The rule is you follow the sadhana. That's why Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, says, when you go to Vrindavan, you respect the Brajabasis, but you don't get too intimate with them. Because they have their own method. We're sadhakas, we follow the rules. Does that make sense?
The resemblance, the jiva resembles the Supreme Lord. You know?
A little bit.
The jiva.
Jiva.
Yeah, he develops a similarity to Brahman, or he resembles the Supreme Lord. So this is in terms of the 8 qualities that we discussed earlier.
I mean, in this context, yes, but it can be beyond that, as it showed with the gopis. But the point is the Lord has so many qualities. So those qualities become manifest in the jiva who is situated transcendentally. Right? So those 8 are you know, your basic things, but it's beyond. So in this context, yes, you'd say the 8. But as the acharyas are bringing out, there's beyond that. Because Krishna, he serves the devotees. The devotees serve Krishna. Is that? Yeah?
And Maharaj, this can be done either via anukrita or anusamas.
It's the...
Because it's mentioned this or that. So not necessarily anusanga.
No. Means the point is the imitation is the point that's being given. But what we're talking about is that it has a further stage. Because the point is you're imitating by being absorbed in Brahman or Paramatma. But when you're dealing with Bhagavan, then it takes on this aspect of intimate contact. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Did we finish this? No. No. However, the gopis experience me, not the Brahman. Thus the example is used to show forgetfulness, but is not meant to show attainment. There is a great difference between the gopis attaining prema and the sages attaining nirvana, since the feelings of possessiveness are different. Right? In other words, how can you possess Brahman? So it's not a very... You may identify with it and all that. So there'll be some sense, but it doesn't have the dynamic sense, because they're not doing any service for Brahman. So that nirvan state is static. They're not doing something for Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? But for the gopis, then they have that feeling of possessiveness that they want to do everything to please Krishna. It's not possessiveness for myself, like we see in the material world. That's the difference between the spiritual and the material. Is in the material world, the sense of possessiveness is for our own benefit. We benefit the other person because they're connected with us. You know what I'm saying? Just like some people will take care of their own child very nicely because of their connection, but they don't necessarily take care of other children. Right? Means you have a whole community, okay? Of grihasthas, they have children. How many people in that community, it's just about any child. They'll deal with all children the same. Right? That's going to be rare. So that's what I mean. So that's a step there, but still, that's an identity that, you know, I like children, and so it's a more generic kind of thing, and so like that. But here, that possessiveness is if Krishna's yours, then what's the way you can please him the most? It's not about what you'll gain from it. Right? So there's a difference there. So this is the other end. So the sages have just attained to that platform of nirvana. But they're not doing anything dynamic on that platform. While the gopis, then they're fully absorbed in the dynamic aspects of devotional service. So it's another stage. So we see the stage we're trying to get to, getting out of the material world, that's not the main point. The main point is what you'll do in the spiritual world. That's the big thing. And that taste then makes all these other tastes go away. Because until you get to the platform of Nirvana, how do you taste Nirvana? Right? Because you're dealing on the material platform, so what you get is very little. So that's why it's such a difficult path. But when you deal with Krishna consciousness, you're dealing with Krishna. Because you're dealing with Krishna, that taste, that will then give up the other. It's not that, no, I'll be more strict today, I'll do this and that, and that's why I get over any difficulties. No, it's because of trying to do things to please Krishna, Krishna being pleased, then that works. Right? That you know that this is not good. Why isn't it good? Okay, I'm not focused. Sorry?
Doesn't please Krishna.
Yeah, it doesn't please Krishna. Right? Because otherwise, okay, I'm not focused. So I have to be focused, because being focused is good. But that won't really get you anywhere. Lots of work, then you may get focused, but then what's the point of the focus? It's that by not being focused, I'm not pleasing Krishna. Good system. I'm saying, you have all the mats. Put out how much you need. Okay. Does that make sense? So, it's another stage, just like we were, you know, getting used to the technical, and then how to engage our activities in the Lord's service, because we have to maintain the body, that's done through the Varnashram system. Then how you can see that connected to Krishna, how to cultivate the sadhana, right? So then our family life, our occupations, our sadhana, how to balance all those things nicely. And then we see as we're going through the stages, through the cantos, then more and more for those who are, it's more mixed devotional service to those who are absorbed in pure devotional service, but we're still focusing on how they're engaging Varnashram in pure devotional service. Then when we get into the 7th, 8th, 9th, then it's just about pure devotional service, because we've already discussed how to do the other aspect. But now how to see that what you're doing is pure. Not the techniques of, because the techniques of engaging Varnashram in the Lord's service, you can use that in the mixed. The pure devotional service is pure devotional service. So how do I identify that? Right? Does that make sense? So that's been coming. So now we're seeing is that even beyond that sadhana, what is the purpose of the sadhana? So it's not even just, I'm practicing pure devotional service. It's the reason is to please Krishna. So now we're coming into that area. Yes.
Maharaj, when we do service with the intention of this Guru and Krishna, but then the desire of, I don't know, name or fame or this personal gratification for because we are doing something, how to like, because sometimes we don't want to do things because of this reconnection.
Yeah, reaction. I mean, yeah, results. But the point is how else will you purify yourself? If you do nothing, does anything happen? No. So we have to do something. So we have to do with the awareness that we have to try to be careful of this. But we should be focusing on the service to do it nicely to please Krishna. But we should be aware of any time that opportunities for pride or that may come up to try to correct that. But if we don't do service because of this, then the question comes up as, then how will we get purified? Because it's not because I'm doing nothing I get purified. Right? If I chant my rounds, then I might get proud. So if I don't chant my rounds, then I won't get proud. So therefore, by my not chanting rounds, this is my sadhana, that therefore I'll develop love for Krishna. No, it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So we have to do service, but be aware of those obstacles. Right? So that's the whole point of sadhana bhakti, is that we know this is the process, we have faith in it, but we know that because of our conditioning we can make mistakes and therefore not necessarily end up with the goals that we want. Yeah? So being aware of that when we go into it, then these things have less difficulty.
What is the best position to take when devotees praise you or glorify?
But the point is we're only assisting Guru and Krishna. Okay? You know what I'm saying? If you were walking down one of the back streets of your hometown, you know, without having met Guru and everything, would you be doing pure devotional service? No. So therefore, why are you doing it? It's because of their influence, their association. That's the point of this Anusangraha, and what was the other term?
Anukrita.
Right? It's because of this. By their association, then we try to do what they do, and therefore it gets good results. So it's the glory goes to them. We've taken part, but it's not that they need us to do it. It's that they've given us that to take care. Like Prabhupada said, is that Lord Chaitanya could have saved the whole planet. You know, or any of the acharyas themselves could have saved the whole planet. But they left something for us to do. Otherwise, what would we do? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. Okay.
Aren't this possessiveness? Is this also a characteristic of left wing versus right wing?
There'll always be some sense of possessiveness once you get into relationships, but you'll see that there'll be less and less. Means your shanta, there's no real sense of possessiveness. It's just there's that sense of that oneness and difference, so you can appreciate. Mm-hmm. But then with servitorship, there'd be that a little bit, but you're not in control of it. So only with friendship, then you start seeing the prominence. That's why as we go and we get more into the rasa aspects, that when it's defining rasa, then these first three will be considered the main. And then dasya and shanta will be not considered so much. Or the other thing is, because down to dasya is dynamic, mm-hmm. then they'll be considered, and shanta won't be counted so much. Mm-hmm. So you get all five, because it is rasa, mm-hmm. and they have love for Krishna, or you take the four dynamic, or the three that the mm-hmm. sense of possession. Mm-hmm. You know, and then as it goes, it gets more. So vatsalya possessions more, then madhurya possessions more again, mm-hmm. right? But then with those who are left doing this, then it's the most. Mm-hmm. Right? It means it's more, and then those within left, then Radharani, that's mm-hmm. the most. Mm-hmm. Like that. So then one comes up through that. It means that kind of discussion, I think, will come up with Rana and the Rai. I mean, it'll come up when we get into the Panchadhyaya and all that also. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this possessiveness then is an important element, because that's why people generally are involved in things, relationships and everything, because of possessiveness. Mm-hmm. So when there's mundane possessiveness, it ends up with mundane results and mundane qualities. So, but when there's the spiritual possessiveness, then it ends up with that. Mm-hmm. But there's a nature for expressing it. Mm-hmm. You know, so we see those that are here, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. And there in the lila, then you may see it, but when they're here, they're not expressing that possessiveness. Mm-hmm. That's for those who are cheap, they do that, you know. You know, it's just like the nouveau riche. They like to show off their wealth. Mm-hmm. They have all the bling. Mm-hmm. You know, all the you know, your standard gentleman and all that. It's unless you know, you wouldn't know. You notice the watch or notice the shoe. You know what it is. Mm-hmm. But it's subtly done. So most people wouldn't even understand. Those people who know, then they'll understand. Mm-hmm. But for the nouveau riche, then the bling there is for everybody can understand. Yeah, so that's the difference. As those from the spiritual world may come here, they don't show things. They're too aristocratic. You know, they say like that. Because it's not a newfound thing. You know, they've been doing it since eternity. So they're, you know, so it's not even a couple of generations. You know, it's way longer. You know, like that. Seeing a husband or sons, even without good qualities, gives more happiness than seeing the moon, which gives great bliss and destroys all suffering. The cause is the possessiveness. Right? So the seeing the moon gives great bliss and destroys all suffering. But more than that is then seeing husbands or sons, even if they're without good qualities. So if they have good qualities, it's even better. But what's the point? Possessiveness. Possessiveness is what creates the thing. One is more possessive of husband and sons than of the moon. Right? Because the moon's kind of everywhere, but you know, it's our place, it's our moon. You know, but at the same time, is it does tend to go away and someone else's moon. Right? Then what to speak of the bliss if one is unlimitedly possessive of Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, who gives unlimited bliss by his very nature and is decorated with good qualities. Okay, so by nature, he's unlimited. And one of his qualities is Ananda. So that means that Ananda is unlimited. So then if there's that sense of possessiveness there, how much greater is the happiness? Is then that connection. And he's decorated with all good qualities. Right? In other words, all good qualities come from him. Right? So there's not a problem.
Devotees say that when we are sadhana bhakti, we should not try to think of being possessive of Krishna.
Not try to think of. No, because thinking of doesn't make the thing happen. It either happens or it doesn't. You have to think about being possessive of your family members.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
So, in other words, you don't think about it because if you're thinking about it, you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about serving Guru and Krishna and following the instruction and doing what you're supposed to do. You can think about those who have that sense of possession of Krishna. But you're not thinking about it for yourself. That's what makes the Sahaja. Means those who are on those who think of the associates of the Lord and how they serve. That's sadhana. Those who think, no, I have that, I'm doing that, that's sahajya. You understand? This possessiveness is the cause of the greatest bliss of the devotees. The bliss of Brahman realization accumulated by samadhi, lasting for half of Brahma's life, cannot compare to one drop of the ocean of the happiness of bhakti. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.38. So he said that very early in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, after the Mangalacharan and a few other points like this, then he makes this point. So Brahman realization accumulated samadhi lasting for half of Brahma's life, right? So that means you're absorbed in it here. How much more it's going to be? Because once you go there, how much longer is it going to last? Right? So this cannot even compare to a drop. We just use a drop because a drop's not much, right, compared to an ocean. But we can't even actually compare it to a drop. Right? So they'll say is the bliss of the happiness of the material world is like a drop compared to the ocean of bliss of Brahmananda. But that's compared to a material ocean that has boundaries. Right? And then when you're comparing that ocean to the unlimited, shoreless ocean of bhakti, they sometimes use, say, a drop, but basically it's always this, cannot compare, so it's a fraction of a portion of a drop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A drop's not very big. Once you start cutting it up into little pieces like that, you don't end up with a whole lot. So we can understand that the amount of happiness is so much greater. So this is because of that possessiveness. Right? Because that identifying with the Lord and all that. So that comes from that, again, what was that? Anukrite?
Anusanga.
Anusanga and Anukrite. Because you're imitating what? The other associates that have this possession. That's Raga Anuga. Right? Those with Raga Atmika that have that attachment, then we follow in their footsteps. Right? Does that make sense? So here, imitating means doing what they recommend. So in this case, then we will be more specific and say, we'll follow in the footsteps, we won't imitate. But here, the term imitate means that we're doing what the Lord does, which is recommended. Right? So we're taking a more general term when we say imitation here. Right? But if we're being specific in practical application, you know, looking at the mechanics of it, then we're going to say we'll follow in the footsteps, we won't imitate. In other words, we won't do what Krishna does, we'll do what is recommended by Krishna to do. Right? That's boy, memory is so short. That's anukrita. That makes sense.
Just like in the practical reality also, when you want to achieve something from somebody, some teacher say. So initially we just try to do what they say.
Yeah.
Rather than we don't start to behave like them as
That's the natural. But some, they just try to behave like them and don't actually understand why they're doing like that. So that's quite obvious. Does that make sense? You know, but at least it's pious, you're trying to follow what that other person does. So if what you're following are things that are recommended, then it's not a problem. Because then you're following Shastra because the other person is doing that, you're imitating that, so that works. But the point is when we're saying about following the footsteps means you're following the attitude they have and how they're surrendered to authority and all that. That's what's important. So that may, we're following the instruction. So their instruction might be different from what they're doing. Like that. So we have to be comfortable with that.
Yes. Shandavati said that we should try to get to this stage that identify some servant of Krishna and try to do...
Try to do what? You're going to take a pot on your head and walk down to the Jalungi and get water for Krishna's bath. And while you're down at the Jalungi, roll on the bank, on the sand there, even though there's no sand there. And then while you're walking back, be singing all songs about Krishna and never even notice that other people think you're crazy. Is that how you're going to practice? So then, what does that mean? See, this is the difference between Sampradaya and Sahajyas. Upasampradaya means they do forms that kind of look like what you're supposed to do but aren't, because the mentality is wrong. Because the point is following the footsteps means what is the main principle? Okay, let's take the residents of Vrindavan, right? What is the main principle that sets them apart from anyone else? They dress like cowherd people. They hang out with cows. Their absorption in Krishna. That's 100%. Right? So, that's following in the footsteps. Because the first thing, in when we're talking about Bhav Sadhana, because if we're talking about, okay, taking on the, some devotees that you appreciate and then, absorption in that. But the point is the Sahajas then take it that the first thing is do those activities and sit around and make those all-knowing winks to your friend about, something and, that you know that no one else knows because you're in the know and everybody else is just sadhakas, like that kind of jazz. But the point is the first principle of Bhav Sadhana is taking on the generic mood. You know what I'm saying? In other words, Braja Bhakti, we don't ever hear it say, Gopi Bhakti. Do we ever use that term? Right? No, we say Braja Bhakti. That's the generic term because that level of devotion, that's had by all the Brajbasis. That's why all the Brajbasis are together. They meet the Dwarkavasis and, their relatives and friends and the etiquettes and their devotees and it's all very nice. But the point is after the program, the eclipse and all the different programs that they do, the yajnas, the Brajbasis go back to Braj. And the Dwarkavasis go back to Dwarka. Because there's a generic mood. Having that mood, then there's some meaning to trying to focus that specifically in the mood of a particular devotee. But if you don't have the generic, you can't have the specific. Right? If I don't have any money, how can I have $1 million? You know what I'm saying? So that's how it works. You don't follow, you follow the Brajabasis. That's the generic mood of their full surrender to Krishna. Everything's about Krishna. It's not that, you know, you practice, okay, you know, Krishna's in Kaliya, so running partly out into the Ganga and then people dragging you back and then lamenting on the bank, you know, like that. And you know what I'm saying? That's sahajis. That's what they do. It's just cheap. It has no value. And the point is, you say, no, but there's some devotion that says the Brajabasis will have nothing to do with it. They don't want you. Because you're cheap. They only want the best for Krishna, so they're not going to be interested. So this idea is we can come up with our own ideas. That's why Shastra only talks about Vaidhi. It doesn't talk about Rag. It comes naturally. You know that Rag is there. It's talked about its existence. And that you can identify what's real. But there's no process for Rag. Because it happens spontaneously. So we'll look at and study those on that platform of Rag. And so being Rag Anugas, we'll follow what they do. Means we'll do the sadhana. We'll follow the Vaidhi. With the idea of that mood of surrender that they have. But if we try to do the activities they do, then we're lost. Very, very important. Why was Prabhupada so strong about the Gopi Bhava Club? Because it's not about the bhava of the Gopi, it's about the activities of the Gopis. We're interested in the mood of the Brajabasis. Detail will come later. Right? If you can't cook, how can you cook a specific preparation? I can't cook at all, but you know, I'm just going to go in the kitchen and make something how I feel. It's going to come out fabulous, right? It's not going to come out at all. First, learn to cook. Then we can talk about a specific preparation. So if you don't have Braja Bhakti, you don't have Bhakti in the line of you know, the Gopis or Mother Jashoda or the Cowherd Boys or like that. So that's the point. The first stage is the generic. The second is then the specific. Right. So, yes?
All right, so the difficulty might be is that we don't see an example of somebody who's practicing Raghunuk Sadhana. And then...
That's the point. That's exactly the point.
Yeah, but then how are we going to learn ourselves? Just by reading, because we have...
By associating with those devotees.
Well, we don't know who they are.
Is the sadhana good?
Is there sadhana?
Yeah. Okay, do they absorb themselves in Krishna?
Yes.
Do they inspire you in serving Krishna?
Yes.
Then? That's what you want. That's what you look for. Because you see, it's all nice. It's all nice and clean. So that's the point. Because following that, either we will come to that platform of Rag in this lifetime, you know, or it'll come after we go to Gokul. The point is whether one starts developing in the Madhyama platform that element of Rag or not, it doesn't matter. Once you get to the platform above sadhana, it will develop. So above sadhana is the platform of Rag. Right? That's why bhava is called rati, that there's some attachment, and then you're cultivating that attachment. So that is Raganuga. Generically. So if it develops here, nice. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. But the point is basically it's the platform of Madhyam is where you can use it. Because unless there's stability, then how will there be that consistency, that attachment, that rag? Right? Because the neophyte will tend to be distracted by their material endeavors. So there's no question really of rag. There'll be moments here and there, of course, a nice kirtan or some special thing, a nice darshan or something. There's that moments, but after those moments, it kind of fades, right? Due to the distraction of other things, right? You know, the lady's there, so absorbed in the deities and all that, and then she looks down and where are her kids, you know, and then, you know, rag is over.
it's
to a different rag. So that's the thing, because of the material rag, then it's like that. But once it becomes steady, then you can say it's technically from nishta, then you can say the practice of rag has some meaning. Right? Because Rupa Goswami says anartha nivriti after that. So then after anartha nivriti, that's nishta. So those who try to practice it before, that's just cheap. Dime a dozen. Means maybe in the West it's new and unique and you're different, but over here there is hundreds of thousands of them. I mean, just like coming out your ears over here. Right? You know, certain seasons you can't sleep at night, they're out there singing all night. Do we have any how many of our own devotees will sing all night? Right, you go down to one of those places, right? You can't sing, you walk over there. You'll see there's hundreds and hundreds of people all sitting there. And they'll sit there all night without sleep. And they'll do it every night of the program and every time there is a program. But like if we say, okay, you know, we're going to every Ekadasi stay up all night, chant and kirtan and all that, how many will come and how many will do it regularly? You know, they're saying, so when it comes to that, oh, there's so many of them. Like that. So it's not a big deal over here. But the point is that how you say, taking up that position of serving in a steady position, that's actually where some benefit is gained. Because you can say, oh, but that moment, how many moments will there be in a day? Even you get your friends together and like that, and then the rest of the day? And then every day? You know, something will come up. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's there. But in reality, its full manifestation of Raga Nuga is only after liberation. Because that is the real Anartha Nivriti. Because you've given up all the material connection and identity. And now one's on the spiritual platform. So on the liberated platform, you can say, that's actually Anartha Nivriti. Because then you can actually practice it. Right? Before that, as a madhyama, you can only absorb yourself in thinking of those who are practicing it or who are living it. Does that make sense? So only when one has a spiritual form, and in that spiritual form, then you can actually practice it. Does that make sense? So that's why that here it's Raga Nuga, it means just that. We're just following the footsteps of those who have the rag. We don't actually try to manifest it. That's why those who are practicing Raga Nuga Bhakti, you won't see any practice of Raga Nuga Bhakti. Because they're following in the footsteps of those who are. So it's just the mentality, the mood. So in other words, that full absorption, always being absorbed in Krishna, always being... like that. So you look. So that's why then the symptoms of who's a pure devotee or who's advanced, that's what you look for. Those are the symptoms. Does that make sense? And then seeing that, then you confidently apply your energy stuff.
The confusion might be is that symptoms are the same for the Vaidisadakas and Raghunugasadakas.
But if you follow it, it'll get you to the same place. In other words, the example they're setting is Vaidhi. You follow it. If rag develops, nice. If it doesn't develop, don't worry. It will develop when you get to the platform of Bhava. So it'll either happen or not. You don't worry about it. You know? You know, it's like that. You know, because he can't do anything about it. It's not up to us. It's not that there's something we can do to make Rag happen. It's just, you know, the blessings of Krishna, the Bhakti Devi yourself. That's all. So we can try to sincerely do our service and all that, and then it comes nice. And if it doesn't come, it will come. Because the point is, but it comes at a point when we can really take full advantage of it. Because at this point, even as a Madhyama, how much can you take advantage of it? You know, to a good degree, but you can't take full advantage of it. But when one's on the Uttama platform, then one can take full advantage of it. Because then one has one's spiritual form that one can use. You know, the neophyte knows about their form, but what can they do with it? You know what I'm saying? You know, let's like say, we go back in time, and you have, let's say, some king, and he has his son, the prince. Then the prince is like 5-6 years old, like that. And you know, at some point, for something in the conversation, it comes up. Oh, you know, what about the future? What's going to? Well, you'll rule the kingdom and all that. But then, you know, who's? You know, but then they have to be married and all that. And says, no, you'll be married to this girl there, that king over there, his daughter you'll be married to. Right? So all he can do is just think, okay, there's someone I will marry. There's no interaction. There's not that they can function on that platform of marriage. So that's the whole point, is that knowing the position, it just is, okay, it's there. But the point is even if one knows the position, you can't use it until you qualify. So that boy, he can't interact with that girl till he's qualified, till he's trained, till he knows everything, he can do his occupational duties, he can do all. Then only at that point he can get married. So even one knows what one is, but that doesn't matter. You can't use it until you're qualified to use it. You know? Just like, you know, the father tells the son, you know, looking out on the empire of their land, all the, you know, one day all this will be yours. But what's the space between his qualification? Right. So that's the whole thing, you know. Or, you know, the father has so many cars, and, you know, he tells the son that, you know, this car is your car, but he can't drive it because he's too young. But when he has the license and all that, then he gets that old. You know, he inherits the Rolls Royce, Silver Ghost, you know. But until he gets of age, you know, it's not. You know, the chauffeur has to drive it. He'll probably drive it anyway, but. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that practically it can't be anyway. So this whole talk, no, that's. It's not real. You know, it's just like, let's say, another example we could give. Let's say you have married women, right? Nicely situated married women. And, you know, they married, they had children, had the whole house, you know, the whole thing's running very nicely, very smoothly. Now, let's say they're talking to a younger girl about married life. What are they going to talk about?
Duties
and mentalities and those kind of things like that. Okay, now what are the unmarried teenage girls who are totally into the whole thing? If they're talking about it and they talk to younger, what are they going to talk about? All kinds of stuff they shouldn't be talking about. Right? That's the difference. So we see is those who come from there, like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, they don't talk about these things. They talk about what you need to do to qualify yourself so you can be there. Because if you follow what those married women say and do all those things, then you'll be able to do all that household stuff. Right? Because learning to cook, you know, some weeks, some months you can learn that, some other things you can learn. But to actually learn how to function in relationships and all that and have the character and qualities, that takes much more. So to go down to the Jamuna and fill a pot up with water, that doesn't take a lot of practice. You know. So, but to have the mentality that someone would actually ask you to go get that pot of water, You know, it's not that, oh, I'm going to go get the water. No, someone has to ask you to get the water. You know? So then that's what we're looking for. Does that make sense? So that mentality, if we have that, and we follow in the footsteps of these great personalities, that will then qualify us for Raga Nuga Bhakti. Does that make sense? Because the only difference between Raga Nuga Sadhana and Vaidhi Sadhana is the mood. Externally, they look exactly the same. Now, someone in Raga Nuga Sadhana might, anything that's not actually so necessary might drop. But the basic form of it will remain the same. Their grihastha, the form of the grihastha will remain the same. But they, you know, maybe, you know, don't keep their mountain climbing equipment anymore. Or, you know, something, the things that aren't actually necessary. It's just their conditioning, why they had it. They don't keep those things anymore. They just keep what's necessary to make the house run so that they can be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Is that like that? So that's why he says it's the symptoms how you can tell. Right? That's what you look for. So the symptoms that it mentions for pure devotion, you look for those symptoms. And wherever you find them in either quantity and quality, or ideally both, that's where you know with better association. Does that make sense? And so then you take advantage of that. By that, knowing that, then by serving Krishna in this way, and it's about that mood of service, then that will bring you naturally to that point anyway. Because if it means, in other words, if you don't want it, why you'll get it? Does that make sense? So one's aware that having that pure devotion is what you want, and so then it will come in time. But it'll come according to Krishna's time, not our time. So that's always the... Right? Means, according to the gopis, when would they like to hang out with Krishna?
All the time.
All day. But when is the time they can go and hang out? Yeah, it's a specific time. So like that, to please Krishna, things will happen. So one doesn't have to worry. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why it says when there's intense desire. It doesn't say that there's a specific practice. It simply says intense desire. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's that whole point. Okay. Brahman is attached to the devotees and under their control, but Brahman is not attached to the sages and is not under their control. Right? So that means that even the Brahman has there's a possessiveness. Just as rivers enter the ocean and do not know their name and form, the gopis in relishing rasa did not know their names and forms. The comparison does not illustrate absolute non-difference of gopis from Brahman. Right? It means that there's there, but there's that point is that they're so absorbed in the ocean of bliss that they don't even notice themselves. They're just absorbed. They're just they're practicing, because one has to remember when one's absorbed in the bliss of something, one's not actually engaged in that something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense? Let us say, for example, there's a nice kirtan going on and you're really absorbed and it's so nice. As soon as you start talking to your friend about how nice it is, you're not experiencing it anymore. So the point is this, what do you call it? Aparoksha experience means you're not aware, but you're experiencing. That's why the example is given of like sleep. You're not aware, but you experience. So that's the whole point. So then here, the sages are aware. Therefore, where's the control? When you're not aware, then you're so absorbed, and so then that reaction and interaction happens. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the spontaneity. So this is the... you know, now we're transitioning between the two. Right? You know, so this is always a transition as you're going up through the study of the Bhagavatam. Okay, Sutra 1323, right? So you never knew that that kind of discussion can happen on this kind of philosophy, but you have to get to a particular point to be able to appreciate it. So the Sandarbhas is the same points, but the emphasis is on this side. That's the difference. But the point what you're trying to get to is exactly the same. Does that make sense? Sutra 1323. Api smaryate. Api and smaryate, described in the Smriti, Smriti Shastra. Described in the Smriti Shastra. The Smritis also say that the jiva becomes like Brahman. Sutra Prakashika. Here the last reason is given why the small sky is Lord Hari and not the jiva. Shugovindabhashya. Those who have attained qualities similar to mine by realizing this knowledge through Guru do not take rebirth in this world and do not experience pain at the time of death. Bhagavad Gita 14.2. Right? So one has come to that point of similar qualities to the Lord because of realizing this through Guru. Right? Guru gives knowledge, through that then we understand. That's why it's so important that we're learning through Guru. Mm-hmm. These other things where we give up what the Guru says or have our own idea, that's not very important. Right? This whole study that we're doing, this whole 12 years, is how to understand what Prabhupada's giving and through that the previous acharyas. Right? Because Rupa Goswami gives, I think it's the fifth point in the 64 items is that of devotional service, is that to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharya through your own acharya, like that. So that's what this is. So this is, you know, by what Prabhupada's giving, you know, following the acharyas, understanding what they're doing. Then we have, you know, the Bhagavatam or Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what Prabhupada's given us. Right? Then these other aspects is what the acharyas and how we see it's the same. Does that make sense? So we see is that Prabhupada stated it in a simple way, the acharyas will bring out the technical aspects. But it's not that Prabhupada doesn't have all the technical aspects there, he just said it in a simple way. So because it's simple, we don't look for a technique or a mechanic. But the acharyas have said it in the technical way, we notice the mechanics. Now when we look back, we see all the mechanics are there in what Prabhupada said. But just he uses a simple word. Or the context are like this. In some way he's done the same thing. So this way we see that there's one understanding between all the acharyas. Like that. Does that make sense? And because different acharyas have brought out different aspects. Because if one brings out one aspect, there's no need to repeat it. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, his whole pastimes, are summarized, you know, in just a few chapters. Well, the Chaitanya Bhagavat is volumes. So it's as big as Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it's all those same pastimes. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, because they've already been given, that's summarized in just a small portion of the Adi Lila. So then he gives something else. So that's the point, is that if one you will say, oh, but the acharyas are so different, because one acharya has already explained it in that way. So the other acharya brings out another aspect for us to understand. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. The Smritis say that the liberated souls show qualities similar to the Lord's. Therefore, the space in the heart is the Lord, not the jiva. Right? So they're showing similar, the jiva is. So those qualities that are there in the small space, that is the Lord. And then the jivas develop similar qualities like that. Does that make sense? Bhagavatam verse reference. Liberated souls exhibit certain attributes of the Supreme Lord by assimilation. This is declared by the Lord himself in the Smriti Shastra. So this assimilation is using which term? Or it's just using that combined terms?
Oh, Anusangraha Anukriti?
Yeah. Is that what it is, or it's just another? You're just using a synonym, or there's some other consideration? Or?
I think that would be the Anusangraha, the intimate contact.
Oh, okay. So Bhagavatam 4, 29, 43, 44. Thus you should remain content and free from desire, tolerant of all dualities, good-natured, self-controlled, peaceful, and endowed with transcendental knowledge and realization. With fixed attention, meditate constantly upon these instructions I have imparted unto you, and assimilate their essence. Okay, so using that from this. Fix your words and thought upon me, and always endeavor to increase your realization of my transcendental qualities. So, in other words, that you're saying is that the qualities are gained through assimilation. We may see them, we may try, endeavor for them, we may associate, but it's the assimilation that the qualities are manifested.
Yeah, or through the practice of the sadhana, then the realization comes, the actual vijnana.
Then you're able to assimilate.
Yeah.
Okay.
You internalize that.
Yes. Does that make sense? So in other words, we know what the standard is, we're trying for that, we're endeavoring for that, what's appropriate, what's for us, but through that practice, then we'll realize, then we can assimilate, then you can say, then it's solid. Right? Yes.
Maharaj, why happens that sometimes devotees, they have like good sadhana, and but these qualities like peacefulness and this doesn't develop?
They'll come with time. They'll come with time. It's just a matter of time that these come. That's why it's a practice. Does that make sense? So depending upon what the individual is, each individual has different points that come up. Okay. Content. Someone might be content, you know, free from desire, tolerant of dualities, good nature, self-control, peaceful, endowed with transcendental knowledge, realization. So different individuals may have different ones at different times. With fixed attention, meditate constantly on these instructions. So the point is that everyone being an individual, they're going to progress according to their individual nature. That's why then a society of devotees is always a recommendation. Right? Because then in that association, then you can find all these qualities. Right? You can know someone who's content, someone who's sense controlled, someone who, you know, is always absorbed, someone. It may not be all in one person, but you can find all these in a association. So you look for that. Does that make sense? That would also give for your point. Is that area where you see the person has the recommended qualities, that's the area you associate. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say someone's very absorbed in their chanting. So when it comes to chanting, sit down with them and chant. Or discuss about the holy name with them. Or, does that make sense? Do kirtan with them. Though they may be mildly stressful, let's say, at prashad. You know, but then someone else who then is taking prashad and all that, then there's a nice mood and all that, you associate with them on that level. You know, so you sit with one person at the kirtan, another person, at prashad, a different person when you walk back to your house, you know, like that. So in that way, you surround yourself by good association.
Just practical, because you mentioned it previously several times, so I tried to practice it and it's not exactly working. Because people get offended. You know, it's like you mentioned, you know, they're horrible at prasadam, but kirtan, they are like the best. So then they want the whole thing. They just. And then if you avoid them,
then what to do?
You know, what's wrong with you?
So
you don't like me.
Yeah. So at those times, at those times when it's prashad after the kirtan, sit with them. And then at other prashad times, sit with someone else. You know, because the etiquette is there, you try your best. And then Krishna is also having some fun. So that, so this way then, you know, like that, you know. Just, you know, so that, you know, so you think you're the controller, okay. You know, you know, so like that. So then, these are basic, you try your best and all that. And then it works nice. And people, you do your best to avoid people getting upset, but, you know, even if you always do everything the way they want, they'll still get upset, so. Right? There's a saying, you can please some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time. You can't please all the people all the time. Just you still use that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just make sure it's not too. Okay. Yeah, you know, it kind of went out with Teddy Roosevelt. You know. Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, so these qualities can be developed only in associations, means when somebody is alone, is not.
No, but if you're alone, is one ever alone?
Alone without other devotees.
Are you ever alone?
Me?
No, it's a generic question. Is there ever a time that the devotee is alone?
Yes.
When? Okay, let's discuss this alone. Let's say some other considerations. Is Super Soul, when you're alone, he goes out for a walk? Okay, you want to be on your own? Okay, I'm out of here. Anyway, I have some other things I wanted to do anyway. You know, there's something happening over at, you know, two houses down, they're having a nice party, so Super Soul goes over there. So you're alone, right? And then you don't have the instructions of the spiritual master and all that, so you're not associating through those instructions. Now, again, asking the question, is the devotee ever alone?
No.
Okay, so then. So then you're never alone, and then you can be, by association, even less alone. Does that make sense? You can say, I would like to be alone with just, you know, the instructions of my spiritual master and the Super Soul. You know. We would like some time to ourselves. You know. Like that. But I wouldn't try pulling that. They might think you're snooty, so. Yes? It doesn't work. Why not? You can't remember the instruction of the spiritual master and gain benefit.
Yes.
Then?
When the society that Prabhupada create is just to be in association with other devotees so we can advance.
Yes.
Easy and
yes.
So the mind, all if we are along with the Super Soul, also there is the mind. And
yeah, but is anybody just ever alone by themselves with no one else around? Yeah. Do you have that? That means, okay, somebody gets on a boat, paddles up the Amazon, and then sits in a tree. Okay, maybe, but the point is why would one do that? There's so much association around. Means there's thousands of devotees here in Mayapur. You can surely find, you know, one or two to spend time with.
It's not about me. It's, I'm talking about some devotees who are living not in Mayapur, not in temple.
But why they chose there?
Because they are the only one who knows, as you mentioned before, and they are.
Means that, yeah. So if they're the first one in an area, then they start practicing the preaching programs that we do. Invite people to their houses and this and that. Have programs, and then they're not alone anymore. If it's a matter of they've chose this particular place way out of this and that, why choose there? You know what I'm saying? You know, you find where there are devotees and set yourself up there. It may cost you more, but, you know, so does everything else. You know what I'm saying? So you find where is association that you appreciate, and then set yourself up there. Why? There's no houses for rent around there. Even the nicest area, you just have to go around the corner to the next street, and it's a slum, so it's cheap. You don't have to worry. Right? You know.
More probability to find the nicest area. There is more probability to find
it. Yeah. So therefore, it's you can always find some place to stay. But if you're worried about, oh no, but I have to be in nature and this, okay, be in nature. Then if you want to be with devotees, that's another thing. You know. So you have to choose what's more important. That's all. So association, that's good. You know, people they set up in this farm out in the middle of nowhere that you have to use a 4x4 to get to, and then after that you still have to walk, you know, like that. But then, you know, nice. It's nice and it's fresh air, and it's got its own little creek, and you have your little patch of vegetables that grow for 3 months of the year because it snows the rest of the time. And but now, why are you there? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes,
so you can be somewhere else. Because anyway, how long do they live there?
17 years.
Mm-hmm. 17 years. Well, yeah. Will they continue there? But it's their choice. They want to be there. Okay, nice. So that means their natural organic lifestyle is more important than association of devotees. So then, hey. Then they'll end up out in some little village somewhere with nice organic stuff and no devotees. Next life. You know, or, you know, a squirrel out there. Now they live a natural, organic life, you know. Not bad. You know, don't pay rent.
So my point is, in that position, or with this consciousness that doesn't appreciate or take association of other
devotees. But then people like that, then you can't worry about. Develop? But why worry about them? You can't do anything.
Because this person is the authority of the whole country, or like leader of the country, leader and
RG. The point is are they able to give directions that work? And if they are, then fine.
No.
And if they're not, then you discuss with other authorities and all that and work that out. That's a political point. That's not a point of sadhana. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but my question is, if this quality can be developed if you don't have association of other devotees.
But the point is what you mentioned. You have the books, you have that association, so yes, it can be. But that's not what's recommended. It's recommended that you're in other association. But the point is if you're talking about authorities, then it's not really in your scope to worry about it. You don't like it, then talk to other authorities who can make some adjustments. And if you don't like that, hey, we have so many communities in the world. Move to one of them. You know what I'm saying? If it's about association, find good association. So if you find good association, also has to have a political structure that you appreciate, then move to a place that does have. And if on the whole planet there isn't one that's up to the standard, then hey, welcome to the material world. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj had a problem. So at some point you have to decide what's more important. Is pure devotional service more important? Yeah. So that, if that's important, you find where you can perform that kind of service. So, yeah. Did we finish this?
No.
Okay, fix your words and thoughts upon me and always endeavor to increase your realization of my transcendental qualities. In this way, you will cross beyond the destinations of the three modes of nature and finally come back to me. Because his qualities, those are the ones that he performs his activities with. So that's why the activities are so wonderful, is his qualities. Right? So that's why you fix yourself, realization on Krishna's qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how he performs his pastimes. Yes.
Maharaj, like, do we first try to fix our thoughts and qualities, and then by that we simultaneously endeavor to get free from material desire? Is it that the process?
means you're doing both at once. But the point is as you develop in one, the other one will set. So you do them at the same time. Yeah.
But the goal with the thought is about devotion.
Yes. No, the point is perfection. Material perfection doesn't actually gain any perfection because it's temporary and it's lost anyway. So even if you did the best thing, then it's gone. You know? So the point is it's the devotion that lasts. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.